Hello, and welcome to The Commissioner. My name is Randy Sausson. This is episode 5, Enrique Iglesias, Hero. Enrique Iglesias, Hero was the first of 15 music videos that I commissioned for Enrique Iglesias. I loved working with him, and we had a really good camaraderie throughout the time that we worked together. But Hero was our first project and kind of the foundation of what we would do together in the future, which included me introducing him to Anna Kournikova, who he's still with today, and also creating and directing music videos together because we had a mutual respect and admiration for each other. The first time I heard the song Hero, I knew it was a hit, but I was nervous about making the right video. And by that, I mean, it was slow and melodic. And those tend to be like, it tends to set directors and creatives off in a certain direction. And I knew I wanted to make something a little different. And there were a lot of big names involved in the video and the creative of it. Fernando Giacardi was the day-to-day manager for Enrique, but there was a company called The Firm, and Jeff Quantnitz, who was the head of the company, he was involved in the video. Jimmy Iovine, who was the chairman of Interscope Geffen A&M, was involved in the video. Gerardo, who did A&R for Enrique, and he was also an artist who did the hit song Rico Suave. So he knew a thing or two about making music videos. He was involved. So there was a lot of people putting in their opinions and you know, wanted to make sure that we made the right video. In particular, because the last video that Enrique made for his last album was a real issue. It was a song called Sad Eyes, and it was directed by renowned photographer David LaChapelle. The video was ultimately scrapped and never seen back in the day on MTV, although it is on YouTube now, so you can see the video if you want. But back in the day, it was scrapped. Either way, there was a tremendous amount of pressure to deliver a hit video that would showcase Enrique as well as the song without compromising his image or his fan base. So I started the treatment solicitation process, and it was not really going well. Enrique and management had a list of directors that they wanted to use, and a little inside information, and this is obviously 15, 18, 20 years ago. Not every director back in the day wants to work with every artist and vice versa, you know? And the budget for this video was, you know, north of $600,000. So you would think everyone would want to write a treatment, but there were a number of bigger name directors who passed on the project, not all for creative reasons. Some of them were booked at the time, but still it was starting to get a little dicey. And there were a lot of people that we were interested in that either weren't available or weren't interested. Some of the treatments that we were getting in were kind of coming in to the problem that I had talked about earlier. It was just like, oh yeah, that's exactly what you kind of think that they would do with this song, but we didn't really want to do that. We didn't know what we wanted to do. We just knew what we didn't want to do. I don't know if that makes sense, but and sometimes that's the worst position to be in, where like you don't know what it is you want, but you know what it is that you don't want, so you can't decide. But I eventually received a number of treatments, sent them through to Enrique and management. None of them were really what we were looking for, in my opinion, and they also agreed to that. So we had a call. I remember doing a call with everybody to kind of discuss what to do next, and I suggested that we widen out the pool. There were some directors that were not on our original list, and although management was hesitant, I convinced them to let me go out to a few of those directors. Like, let's just try it, right? We're at a point where we don't have what we want, but we need to kind of move on this and do the right thing. One of those directors was Joseph Kahn. And I've always had a really good working relationship with Joseph. We have a mutual respect for one another, and he always has really good ideas. So at the time, he was filming the YouTube video Lost in a Moment in Houston at the old Houston Astrodome. And I remember getting on the phone with him and having a really direct creative discussion about the song and, you know, what we were looking for and how I wanted to push the envelope. And Joseph was really great because he could do YouTube, but he could also do Backstreet Boys or Britney Spears. So he was very versatile. He could do hip hop, you know, he did Wu-Tang Clan. So he understood, you know, how to bring out the best in an artist, I felt like, and also keep an edge about it without it being too sappy. So I told him I needed a video that was, you know, pop in nature, but had enough of an edge to give Enrique the credibility that he deserved. And he told me he needed time to finish the video, but that once he was done with it, he would get me a treatment. And about a week went by and everyone was panicking, as we did not have a treatment that we liked. And finally, I remember finally getting back in the day, used to get faxes, you know, and I finally got a fax from Joseph with the treatment. And it was amazing. It was, you know, the story of two lovers on the run, and it would be shot kind of like a movie trailer, you know, so it'd have like very much a narrative going on in the movie without any dialogue. And in the end, Enrique would die in the arms of his lover, like a true hero, you know. And I love this idea. Send it through to everyone. There was resistance. I'm not going to lie. There was resistance from management and even at the label because they were nervous that Enrique would be killed in the video. But I just really felt like this was the right thing that would, you know, it would be good. It would be a good look for Enrique. And Enrique loved the idea. He's very much a person who likes to push the envelope. And he's actually a prankster at heart. But, you know, like when it comes to a good creative and a good video, he wants to make the best video he can, always. So he loved it. Eventually, management and people in marketing and everything signed off, and we set up a call, and Joseph and Enrique hit it off immediately. And after that, we set the date for the shoot, and we started the casting process. Enrique immediately offered Jennifer Love Hewitt. I remember him saying, like, I'll get her to play the love interest. The answer was a resounding, obviously, yes from everyone. And to have such a well-known actor be in a video was amazing, you know. And we knew that they had a camaraderie together, so Enrique felt comfortable. There were a number of videos where we had to find the right person, and that was always a question. Including the next video that we made together, which was Escape, where we ended up getting Anna Kournikova, who he didn't know, but obviously the rest is history. But for this one, he suggested Jennifer Love Hewitt, and we were all excited and said yes, right? We worked out the deal with her, booked her. Her rate was expensive, but reasonable, but it was, you know, expensive for a video. I think we paid her like $30,000 plus travel and expenses. That's kind of what I remember. And now we had to find the right person to play the villain. And Joseph was adamant about using Mickey Rourke. That was his idea. And this was before Mickey had his first resurgence. This is before Sin City or Man on Fire, long before The Wrestler. So he was considered kind of a has-been, I guess you would say, you know, at that point. But I knew that Mickey would be great and that his abilities were, like, he's second to none. Like, his work is incredible. So it was never a question, like, if we could get Mickey Rourke, we should get him, right? You know, like, that's how we all thought. The only issue was his fee. He wanted $50,000 plus travel and expenses. And we just did not have that in the budget. And I knew his agent I still know his agent, but at the time his agent was a guy named David Unger. And I tried to make a deal, but they were like, we get it. We want to do it, but this is what it is. We don't work for less than this. And, you know, I understood it, but I just couldn't afford it. So I told Joseph that he would have to try and find a way to figure this out, like either cut budget or do something or lose something, or he would have to call Jimmy Iovine and have him approve the overage because they told me no. I went, tried to get more money. They told me no. Even though I used the Mickey Rourke thing, they were like, find somebody else. You know, there's always somebody else. And they weren't wrong. It was just, you know, we kind of knew creatively that Mickey would be great, but we couldn't get the money. So I just knew I had to personalize it and make it, you know, Jimmy wasn't going to give me the money, but he may give Joseph the money. He may say no, but I knew that if any, you know, if anyone had a shot, it would be Joseph talking creative with Jimmy. I remember that we were at the hotel doing a fitting with Enrique at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills. That's where Enrique liked to stay. Little side note, Rachel Zoe, who is, you know, she was a stylist for this shoot, but she did all of Enrique's videos for the record. But she soon became a star herself and is now has her own store and her own clothing line and everything. But back in the day, she actually did Enrique and did this video, everyone on it. Anyways, I remember Joseph called Jimmy and Jimmy got on the phone and Joseph stepped out onto this small balcony. We're doing a fitting like in a little suite at the Four Seasons. They weren't big rooms, but he had, you know, Enrique had a junior suite or a suite or whatever. So we had like the bedroom and the thing. We had racks of clothes, but there was a little balcony you could step out to. And Joseph stepped out to talk to Jimmy. And when he came back in, he gave us the thumbs up and we were able to book Mickey Rourke for the video. The video was shot in and around Palm Springs, California on August 24th and 25th, 2001. We started our shoot day at the Roy's Motel and Cafe that you see in the beginning of the video. And it's a well-known and frequently used location that is not an actual functioning motel or cafe or gas station, but everyone uses it. We basically shot the video in sequential order, but the story and the editing are used accordingly. So day one, we filmed the gas station and we filmed the bedroom scene with the kiss and the church near the end of the video, where Enrique gets caught. So we filmed them, you know, getting there and then ultimately getting caught on the first day. But in the video, it plays out a little differently. And there was an issue with the scene where Mickey catches Enrique and Jennifer on day one. You know, Mickey's a pretty serious actor. And so he was taking the scene like they all were pretty seriously, but he was grabbing Jennifer really hard and throwing her, you know, like when he grabbed her, he would throw her to his guys. Right. And we did that a number of times to get it right. We had to shoot at different takes and different angles and make sure we shot it from his view and her. So we probably did it 15, 20 times. And it looked amazing and real and because it was, you know, but the physicality of the scene left Jennifer with visible bruises up and down her arms. And she was not happy about it at all. And I remember going to her trailer and she basically refused to shoot day two. She was like, I'm done. Like I have bruises. I can't do this anymore. And I had to assure her that she would not be in any more scenes with Mickey. So there wouldn't be any chance that he could hurt her, you know? And she said she agreed to come back for day two. But if there was any scene with like that again, she would leave. I totally understood, but you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, no. And I didn't know about it at the time. I didn't know about it until I went to her dressing room afterwards to try and get her ready for the final scene. And she showed me her arms, which were all bruised and, so we had to put makeup on it and everything, but it was a thing. Anyways, we also had a full second unit team, which means we have, you know, a director and a camera and a DP and a whole thing. But then we had a full unit with a director and an additional camera and all this, you know, all these props and things that we used. And a lot of those shots are insert shots that you see at the beginning of the video, like the money flying out of the bag, the car driving, the wide shots of the desert with the car driving down the road. At like a minute 26 of the video, you see a shot from the backseat of the two of them in the car. Those are body doubles. We had body doubles for them. And another thing about filming an Enrique video is that everyone has an English version and a Spanish version. That means when we have time, whenever we film a performance, we have to film all the performance in English and then all the thing again in Spanish. We have to do a completely other take. So it just takes longer to do. And even though you add the time in. Sometimes it just, no matter what you do, it just takes time. So we filmed most of the performance, all the acting and the action with all three actors on day one, but that put us into some OT. So I remember we had to push our call time for day two. Our call time is usually the start time for a movie shoot. We had to push it back for day two a few hours. Enrique, Jennifer, Mickey, and myself all stayed at the Merv Griffin Resort and Givenchy Spa, which is now known as the Parker in Palm Springs. It was infamous at the time as the hotel where Robert Downey Jr. was arrested. And he was staying in one of the bungalows. And this is like before Instagram and the immediate connection of social media. But the Robert Downey Jr. incident was kind of a big deal at the time. And so we all stayed in the bungalows. And I actually was in bungalow 311, which was the Robert Downey Jr. scene of the crime. So it was kind of funny. Everyone came by to check out my bungalow 311. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. Anyways, I went to the lobby in the morning of the hotel to make sure that everyone knew that the call time had been pushed back a few hours. And I saw Mickey, who always traveled with this like cute chubby chihuahua that he carried around. He always had it when he did the scenes, he would put it in his director's chair, but he was always carrying the chihuahua with him. And I saw him and he was really concerned that he didn't miss his call time. And he told me that he had issues in the past with not showing up or showing up late. And that he did not want to set a precedent with the next generation of directors. And he wanted them to make sure he was reliable. And I assured him that the call time was pushed back, but also as part of his deal, I had to book him like a SUV. And, I suggested that since he had the SUV that we go shopping together. Cause I had to be there on time. So if I was with him, then he would know that, you know, that it was okay. So, and he was like, I heard there's a Gucci store here. And I knew just what he was talking about, which was there's a outlet mall, the Cabazon Outlet Mall in Palm Springs. Or I guess it's in Cabazon, but it's near Palm Springs. So if you've never been there, I highly recommend it. It's a great outlet store. And they do have a Gucci outlet thing. So we took the car. We went shopping at Gucci's, which that's one of those things you don't forget, you know, going shopping at Gucci's with Mickey Rourke. I don't know. It was very fun. And everyone was like, is that Mickey Rourke? You know, he kind of walks in. He's funny because he looks like Mickey Rourke, but then he doesn't, you know, and he had the glasses on and he was kind of a little incognito, not completely, but, you know, he's carrying around a dog but it was great. So we went shopping. We arrived for the shoot for day two, where we filmed the abandoned shed with the piano, the scene with the windmills, and then the final scene where Enrique dies. The scene with Enrique playing the piano went quickly, but we wanted to replicate it with Mickey, where Mickey plays the piano, the three notes. And for some reason, he just couldn't hit the notes. It took a lot longer than it should have. You see the best scene in the video, but it's still not like Enrique hit it, you know, like, cause it's his song, right? He knows the song. So you know, and he plays those three notes on the piano singing and Mickey comes in and is smoking a cigarette and tries to hit the three notes and he never really hits it on time, but you know, it was good enough for the video. And then we kind of convinced ourselves that it was like, he's trying not to, you know, on purpose, but either way, so eventually we moved on. We moved to the windmills, which I don't know if you've ever been close to them. I never had before. I see them all the time, but I've never really been close to them and they make a lot of noise. And, but we shot that at sunset. We shot, you know, Enrique and Jennifer walking, and then we shot Mickey and his team walking. And then we wrapped Mickey, right? So Mickey was done at sunset. And then we headed to downtown Coachella to set up the final scene. And it was a big setup, although we never do a wide shot, so you don't see how big it was. It was a lot. We had to rig rain towers and shut down streets and light the entire area. The wide we do is with the two cop cars and Enrique, you know, walking. And then you see the wide shot near the end of the video, but you never see the whole town. But we did. We shut down like two or three blocks in downtown Coachella, which is a pretty quiet town. It's, you know, not near the Coachella Music Festival. It's the actual city of Coachella. And while we were waiting for this to be set up, I started receiving these two-way text messages on my two-way, letting me know that Aaliyah had reportedly been in a plane crash. Everyone on the set that had a connection to Aaliyah started to get these texts. This was before the internet was on your phone. So we had a hard time getting immediate information, but we were all able to find out that there was a plane crash in the Bahamas and that Aaliyah and part of her team were dead. And we were devastated. Someone, either on Enrique's team or someone had suggested that we cancel the rest of the shoot. And I was, you know, adamant that we don't cancel the shoot, even though it was tragic. It wasn't anything that we could do by canceling the shoot. There was no insurance claim. It didn't happen to us, even though we were really sad. There was nothing that we could do about it being so far away. And so I just suggested that we, you know, kind of channel our feelings together and dedicate the rest of the shoot to them, to Aaliyah and the people that were lost, and, you know, kind of the show must go on and, you know, brave through it. And everyone agreed. And when we were filming the end of the video, there was real emotion and sadness that shows through in both Enrique and Jennifer's performance. And maybe it was just the great acting, but I know that we were all pretty devastated to hear that Aaliyah had died in a plane crash. And again, we didn't have a lot of information because it was mostly just kind of text messages on a two-way messenger thing. And there was some news service stuff, but it wasn't really like an AP breaking news thing like you could get today and go on Google and find everything out really quickly. You get really sporadic information. So we were, you know, trying to find out everything we could, but we knew that it was real and it was true and it was a tragedy. It was a long and emotionally draining 2 days, right? And that second day in particular, I think we wrapped around 4 a.m. or something of the video. And the last shot of the video was the close-up of Enrique singing. We shot Jennifer looking up, right? So we had everything. But then the final shot, we were able to start wrapping everything up, was looking down at Enrique with the water falling in his face and him dying. And that was, I went like 4 or 5 a.m. Like we had to finish before the sun came up. And so we did. And it was very powerful, very emotional. Obviously, we had all the weight of the rain and the, you know, wetness of everything. So it was a little bit messy, but really, really powerful stuff. And we did wrap on time on day 2. We got into the post of the video really quickly. I remember Joseph sent through a rough cut within a week or so, and that it was amazing. The structure of the video was there. Most of the scenes are exactly the way you see them. Joseph works really closely with his editors and films videos with an edit in mind, even running the camera himself most of the time. So he's able to deliver you a video that he storyboards because of that he shoots it that way. And I remember the only issue that I had with the video was the transition from when Mickey catches them at the church and we see Enrique, and to where Enrique starts staggering in the rain. And there were a few iterations and none of them were really working for me. Like it just felt like a weird transition from one scene to the next. I suggested a slow fade. Joseph didn't like that. I remember having a call with Joseph to discuss it. And he didn't think it was an issue, but I was like, it's just like this video can be perfect. Like we've just got to fix this transition. And I suggested maybe some stock footage of a sunset, which at first Joseph was not happy with, because that would mean adding footage that he didn't shoot to the video. And I understood his concern. I was trying to make the best video possible. But eventually, I convinced him to try. So just try it. And he agreed. And so it's about 3 seconds, really, when you look at it. But it does make a difference. And he put it in, like he did the clouds into the sunset. And then it cuts to Enrique. And that was it. Like it worked perfectly. I remember showing it at the executive meeting and people just it was just an amazing, you know, that we played it again. It was one of those things, you know, a lot of times you play a video and everyone likes it, but you know, this time Jimmy loved it so much he wanted me to play it again. So I felt really good about the way people reacted and what this video would be for Enrique. The video was delivered and accepted at both MTV and VH1 prior to 9/11. But as soon as that incident happened, everything changed. The standards and practices departments at both the outlets were concerned about having Enrique die at the end of the video. So we had to recut the video so that he was moving in the last shot. Looking back, it seemed ridiculous. Now that it's almost 20 years since the event, I kind of feel the same way. It's fucking ridiculous, you know, but you know, at the time you just didn't know. And there was all this concern about, you know, there were certain videos that I did. I remember doing D12 fight music and they wouldn't even add the video because there was the word fight in the name of the song. Like radio stations stopped playing songs that had certain words in it. And it was a real knee jerk panic reaction. And so we had to change it. And it doesn't ruin the video, but it makes it less impactful, in my opinion. And we never were really able to get the proper video out there because it played that way for so long, and it still plays that way. I don't even know if there's an actual version. I think there is an actual version somewhere of the original one we had where he's dead at the end. But because we had to change it for Europe, I saw something online that says it was Europe. It was really for the outlets, and because of 9/11 that we had to change that particular ending. But you know, it didn't ruin the video again, but it did make it a little less impactful in my opinion. The song was an anthem for the first responders in New York. It was a huge hit. It would have been a big hit regardless of that, but with the world events, it made it even bigger and more, you know, more amplified at the time. The video definitely gave me credibility at the label, showing that I could handle the big artists with high profile videos, as well as my relationship with Enrique and his team. We made a lot of videos together over the next 5 years and had great success with creating, developing, and maintaining the iconic image that is Enrique Iglesias. So that's episode 5 of The Commissioner, Enrique Iglesias Hero. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Stay tuned for more episodes. Feel free to leave questions or comments. Also, please share and let people know about the podcast. We're growing every day, but always want to have new listeners. And as always, I'll leave you with a final thought. A paperclip is just a stapler for somebody with commitment issues. My name is Randy Sausson, and this is The Commissioner.